I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Dominic will be along shortly. My little buddy joins in the Happier Happy Hour. And why the attention on the Ohio Senate primary? Because Rob Portman, who is the Republican, the current senator from the state of Ohio, he's retiring. And let's not forget, Ohio has elected a very progressive Sherrod Brown. So the right candidate in a working class state like Ohio could carry the day. And the more unappealing the Republican nominee, you know, see J.D. Vance, Josh Mandel, the better the chances for the probable Democratic nominee, who is Tim Ryan, the congressman from Ohio, or at least one of the congresspeople from Ohio. Now, I've grown in respect for Tim Ryan. When he ran for president, I felt, you know, he's a bit out of his element, didn't have the gravitas of some of the other candidates in the field, and, you know, didn't go that far. But I think he gained a certain confidence from that campaign, and I think he's a better candidate now. And I think he's got a fighting shot in the state of Ohio, which brings me to my earlier statements on Fox News and also a little article here at The Raw Story, one of my favorite sources. The headline here, weak J.D. Vance demoted to Don Trump Jr.'s sidekick as the primary vote looms. He's the sidekick in his own campaign. In an opinion piece by the New York Times columnist Michelle Cottle, she reports that the hillbilly elegy author J.D. Vance owes whatever momentum he has as he seeks the Republican nomination in Ohio's open Senate seat to former President Donald Trump with a boost from Don Jr. Fredo coming to his rescue in the state. As Cottle details, Vance is seen as a weak candidate. Yeah, so many of these Republicans are. In need of the showmanship Don Jr. is providing at meet and greets where the hopeful potential candidate fades into the background with the realization no one is there to see him. I mean, that's got to be a little depressing when, you know, you bring a more dynamic figure to your campaign rallies and then that person becomes the headliner. You're like, hey, vote for me. According to Cottle, Trump Jr. is an expert at entertaining the ground, relegating Vance to a good sidekick, standing off to the side. That's what good sidekicks do, Fancy Brian. According to her report, during an appearance just outside of Cincinnati, pretending to be befuddled, senile President Biden Don Jr. staggers around the low stage, eyes unfocused, making confused gestures and blundering into the red, white, and blue backdrop. The crowd, a couple of hundred MAGA fans and local Republican players, lap up the wickedness. Oh, it's wicked fun. Writing that Don Jr. clearly inherited the family flair for showmanship, she notes that Vance, who is seeking to represent these voters, spoke to the crowd, then shuffled off in deference to the main attraction. When Fredo's the main attraction, you are truly a despicable candidate. A little bit more here. Off to the side, chuckling awkwardly, hands jammed into his jeans pockets. You want a gummy bear? They've been in my pockets all day. Stands Mr. Vance, tall and burly with carefully manicured facial hair. The candidate has already done his quick opening act and faded into the background like a good sidekick. He takes out his phone to snap the occasional photo. Once or twice, he shoots a glance at the audience as if to see how this show is playing. Answer, very well. Distinctly overshadowed, Mr. Vance is aware that while his name may be on the yard signs and the stickers spread around the bar, he's not who most folks have come to see. And as the columnist explains, Vance owes whatever momentum he has before the primary to Trump and his oldest son because he never caught fire with GOP voters until the former president, to the dismay of Ohio Republicans, endorsed him. One more quote here, and then we'll wrap this little article up. Mr. Vance is no longer the star of his own race to win Tuesday's Republican primary in Ohio for U.S. Senate. The moment he got the much-coveted Trump tap on April 15th, the election became about one thing only: whether the former president has the juice to propel an unexceptional candidate to victory. Unexceptional indeed. Why he decided Mr. Vance is that somebody has prompted head scratching. Certainly, there is nothing the former president enjoys as much as watching a former adversary grovel. You know, because J.D. Vance talked a little trash about the former president, and Mr. Vance has been happy to gush about how wrong he was in 2016 and what a great president Mr. Trump turned out to be. Summing up the Don Jr. J.D. Vance roadshow that just concluded, Cottle wrote, "Even Mr. Vance seems to understand that what is at stake here has little to do with him." No, it's the balance of the U.S. Senate that we really care about, folks. That's why I bring it up. Also, here in the state of Wisconsin, I know we've talked a lot about Gableman, but, you know, he's stealing all the headlines, stealing all the oxygen. And not only was he written up in an editorial at the Wall Street Journal and covered in the local paper for following a guy that called Robin Voss a traitorous, treasonous candidate. Well, you know, he also made Wisconsin famous, let's just say, for the big lie and gullibility. The Washington Post takes note. 2020 lives on in Wisconsin, Michigan. Will it hurt the GOP this fall? Murdoch's Wisconsin State Journal thinks it might. Dan Balz reporting, not spelled in the same way, B-A-L-Z. 2020 lives on in Wisconsin, Michigan. Will it hurt the GOP this fall? Hope so. In two upper Midwest battleground states, election 2020 never ended. Republicans in Wisconsin and Michigan remain mired in election denial and divided over what to do about it. The question is, will it hurt their prospects in November's midterm elections? Donald Trump lost, did he? Lost Wisconsin to Joe Biden by about 21,000 votes. Don't tell Ram Jam. And Trump has claimed ever since, without presenting evidence, that the election was riddled with irregularities and therefore stolen. The Wisconsin Legislative Audit Bureau, an agency of the state legislature, previously examined the results of the 2020 presidential and found nothing that would have changed the outcome, although it made recommendations to improve election procedures. Then President Trump's Justice Department in late 2020 found no evidence of widespread electoral fraud that would have changed the Electoral College result. So we got two strikes, and that brings us to Gableman. Last week in Wisconsin, Republican House Speaker Robin Voss extended the contract of Gableman, who had been leading controversially a review of the 2020 results. Voss' decision to extend Gableman's contract came after Trump issued a thinly veiled threat of backing primary challengers to those Republicans who got into Gableman's way. Language seen is aimed directly at Voss. This was not the first time Trump had tried to pressure Voss to investigate the election in Wisconsin. No, not at all. A visit between the two last summer seen as Voss's effort to placate Trump, capitulate, you might say, left us calling Voss the handyman. Without necessarily diving into another full review of 2020, ultimately resulted in the appointment of Gableman. Well, that was your mistake, Voss. It would be your big mistake if you don't stick around for the happier 5 o'clock happy hour. Dom joins right now. You could be a part as well. 844-96-PARTY.
I'm smart and I want respect.
Don't act like you're not impressed.